We're going to be in Acts chapter 16 again this morning. We're going to look starting at verse number 25.
Saul, or Paul's missionary journey with Barnabas, is recorded in 13:1 through 14:28, and is followed by the council at Jerusalem in 15:1 through 35. Paul's second missionary journey, this time with Silas, occurs in 15:36 through 18:22. We see some things that occurred in Philippi, all of which were within the will of God. So, what have you experienced this week within the will of God? Might be interesting if we all had the opportunity to share this. We look at Paul and Silas
in prison in Philippi in verses 24 through 40. After the Philippian magistrates tore off Paul's and Silas' clothing and commanded them to be beaten, they were thrown into prison, thrust into the inner prison, and their feet were placed in the stocks. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God at midnight in the hearing of the other prisoners. All at once an earthquake shook the prison, opened the door, and unfastened the prisoners' bonds. The keeper of the prison assumed that all his prisoners had escaped and prepared to commit suicide, but Paul called out to him not to do so because no prisoners had escaped. Then the keeper of the prison, who had apparently heard them talking and singing about salvation, came into Paul and Silas' presence and asked how he might be saved. They responded that he must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. They also told him that the same thing was true for his family. Paul and Silas were then privileged to witness not only to him, but also to his family. He, meaning the jailer, washed their wounds, and following their salvation, he, the jailer, and his family were baptized. He then took Paul and Silas to his home, fed them, and rejoiced because he and all his family had been saved. The next morning, the magistrates sent their officers with instructions to release Paul and Silas, and the keeper of the prison urged them to go in peace. Paul, however, pointed out to the officers that he and Silas were Romans who had been beaten openly, even though they were not condemned. He would not stand for them putting him and Silas out secretly. The magistrates needed to come themselves and to release them from the prison. When the officers reported back to the magistrates were afraid when they learned that Paul and Silas were Romans, so they came and released them from prison and urged them to leave Philippi. Upon their release, Paul and Silas went to Lydia's home, encouraged the new believers, and left that area. Starting in verse 24, we see the text. Who, having received such a charge, that's speaking of the jailer, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart, and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. As we closed our message last Sunday morning, we saw in verse 23 that after Paul and Silas were beaten with rods, they were thrown into prison. Then within the prison, Paul and Silas were put into the inner prison, and their feet were placed in the stocks. So here, within the will of God, Paul and Silas are hurting from the beating they had experienced. They were locked up in prison. Their feet were secured in the stocks, which clearly hindered their ability to move around. What would you or I have done? Well, we weren't there, so we're not sure exactly what we might have done. But it could be that we would have been moaning and groaning and complaining to the Lord how terribly we had been treated. I don't know what we would have done. But according to verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God at midnight in the hearing of the other prisoners. Interesting. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You suppose their voices were raised so that all the prisoners might hear them? Of course they were. And continues the thought in the sense of then or now. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, indicates that Paul and Silas were alert and praising God rather than moaning and groaning as a result of their having been beaten with rods and their feet fastened in the stocks. Prayed is used in conjunction with sang praises. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of sang praises. It has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to saying praises. It's understood, therefore, in the sense of at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and were singing praises to God. Prayed might instead be used to show time and be understood in the sense of while praying or while they were praying and sang praises unto God as and were singing in praise of or were singing to God. And continues the narrative, the prisoners heard them, is the prisoners were listening to them. They didn't have anything else to listen to. You know, there were no TVs in this prison. There were no radios. There were no record players or boom boxes or whatever other instruments we might have had back when we were teenagers. All of a sudden, an earthquake shook the prison, opened the doors, and unfastened the prisoners' bonds. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Apparently they didn't have any restrictions on building so that the buildings would be safe from earthquakes. But just remember, God can send an earthquake big enough to shake any prison if he wants to. And transitions to the next thought in the narrative in the sense of then or now. Suddenly is immediately or at once. It was right on time. Remember, God is never late, never early. It was exactly at the time God intended it to come. There was a great earthquake. How great? I don't know, but great enough to accomplish what God intended. A great earthquake occurred or came about. The earthquake itself and its timing occurred within the will of God. Important that we remember that. A great earthquake, of course, is a strong earthquake. I don't know how it registered on the Richter scale, but nobody knew what that was back then. So that is with the result that. And it introduces what took place as a result of this powerful earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. And introduces a further result. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. All of this occurred within the will of God at the time of God's choosing. Immediately is at once. All the doors were open indicates that the prison doors were no longer closed and locked, and that the prisoners might have been able to escape. And everyone's bands were loosed, and the bonds, the fetters, or the chains of all were unfastened. According to verse 27, the keeper of the prison assumed that all the prisoners had escaped and he prepared to commit suicide. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And of course, is continuing the thought in the sense of now or then. The keeper of the prison is the jailer. Awaking out of his sleep is used in conjunction with would have, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of would have, and it's understood in the sense of after he became awake or after he was aroused. And seeing the prison doors open is also used in conjunction with would have, indicating time. Its action likewise occurred before the action of would have. It is after he saw the doors of the prison in a state of having been opened. Open has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and having seen in a state of having been opened the doors of the prison. He drew out his sword, where he refers to the keeper of the prison, the jailer. And it's used in conjunction with would have. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to would have. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of would have. It might instead be understood as indicating time in the sense of after he had drawn out his sword, The term for sword here indicates that it was a relatively short sword or dagger, and would have killed himself. Means he was about to kill himself. The tense of would have indicates ongoing action in past time. Himself has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, he was about himself to kill. Supposing is used in conjunction with would have, indicating cause. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of would have. And it's understood here in the sense of because he was supposing, because he was believing, because he was thinking, or because he was considering. And what he was supposing is that the prisoners had been fled, which means that the prisoners had escaped or had run away. He knew that if they had escaped or had run away, he would be executed for allowing their escape. Rather than face certain execution, he was about to commit suicide. In verse 28, Paul called out to the keeper of the prison that he should not commit suicide because no prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." As translated, "but" introduces a statement in mild contrast to the jailer's being about to kill himself, and it might instead be used to transition to the next thought in the narrative in the sense of then. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Paul called out. Paul spoke loudly or spoke with emphasis in a great voice and was saying. Saying is used in conjunction with called, indicating a fact in addition to called. Saying in a loud voice indicates that Paul raised his voice to a level that would be heard by the jailer. And what Paul said was, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." How many constituted we all is not clear. But every one of those in the prison who, as a prisoner, had not escaped. "Do thyself no harm." Where thyself refers to the jailer is, do nothing injurious to yourself, or do not begin to do anything injurious to yourself. The mood of do, when combined with a negative, forbids the action of do in its very beginning. So it means do not begin to do anything injurious. The reason the jailer should not even begin to do something injurious to himself was introduced by, or is introduced by, four. We are all here. Means that none of us has escaped. There is no reason for the jailer to commit suicide. In verse 29, the keeper of the prison came into Paul and Silas present. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Then transitions, of course, to the next event in the narrative in the sense of and or now. He called for a light, where he's the jailer. It's used in conjunction with sprang in. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to sprang in. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sprang in. It might instead indicate time and be understood in the sense of after he called for, after he asked for, or after he demanded a light, meaning a torch or a lamp or a lantern. And sprang in means he leaped in or rushed in. He was making sure that what Paul had said was so. And he came trembling. It's used in conjunction with fell down. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to fell down. He came trembling as he was trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He fell at their feet. In verse 30, the keeper of the prison asked how he might be saved. He had apparently heard them talking and singing about salvation. You know, when you're witnessing to somebody and there are others around, you might want to raise your voice loud enough so that they can hear. I perhaps have told you this before, but a lady and her children attended my church in Illinois one night, probably about 1969. And I went to the home to make sure that the 8-year-old son was genuinely saved. Jesse, you'd remember him as Kirk, okay? So I was witnessing to him in one room, and the mother was out in another room, and I suspected she was listening. So I raised my voice, and I led him to the Lord. Not knowing it, I led her to the Lord at the very same time. You just want to be careful that you make sure they can hear you. It wouldn't do any good if I hadn't spoken up. She got saved and had a wonderful testimony. Still living, godly lady. My thanks to her. She's just a little older than I am, which isn't very old, you know, but just a little bit. I think she's one day older than Arlita is. That's really getting up there, right, Arlita? Whatever. You know, they said to him, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas told him that he must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. They also told him that the same thing was true for his family. If the members of his family would believe, they would likewise be saved. And they, meaning Paul and Silas, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And transitions from the jailer's question to Paul and Silas' answer in the sense of then. "They said" means Paul and Silas said. And what they said was, as you know, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is believe in or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, refers not only to his name, but also to everything his name represents, including his person as God the Son and his work on the cross where he died, paying for our sins. Believe is an imperative of entreaty rather than an absolute command. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is equivalent to the condition "if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And the result of the jailer's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ would be, "And thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Your house, the structure in which you're living, is going to get saved by believing? No. That's not what house means here. Thou is you, thy is your, and both are singular and refer to the jailer. Thou shalt be saved where thou is you. It's emphatic and indicates that the jailer will be delivered from sin and its consequences. And thy house is, and your household, or and your family. But for the members of the family to be saved, each one will individually have to meet the same condition for salvation necessary for the jailer to meet. It's the condition of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 32, Paul and Silas were able to witness not only to the keeper of the prison, but also to his family. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And continues the thought, they spake unto him where they refers to Paul and Silas, and where him refers to the Philippian jailer, suggests they spoke or proclaimed to him the word of the Lord, meaning the message from the Lord, or the message about the Lord. And of course, it refers to the gospel message that according to the scriptures, Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried and that he rose again from the dead on the third day. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He spoke the word of the Lord to them and to all that were in his house. Indicates that Paul and Silas spoke or proclaimed the gospel message to all the members of the Philippian jailer's household or family. In verse 33, the keeper of the prison washed the wounds of Paul and Silas. Not only he, but his family also believed, following their salvation. They were all baptized. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And of course, continues the narrative, he took them. He's the Philippian jailer, and them refers to Paul and Silas. It's used in conjunction with washed. The tense of took indicates that its action occurred before the action of washed. It's literally having taken them, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to washed. It might instead be understood as indicating time, in the sense of after he took them. Took indicates that he took them into close association, in the sense of he took them to himself or took them with or along. The same hour of the night is in that hour of the night. And washed their stripes is and bathed them from their wounds. Now consider, we have no way of knowing how many times each one was struck with a rod, but certainly in the striking of them with rods, some wounds from which blood would come out would be there on their backs. And then their feet were placed in the stocks. And where do you suppose, when they were lying down with their feet in the stocks, their backs were? Oh, on a nice clean carpet, right? In probably a dirt floor. Okay, so if you've got a bloody back and you're lying on a dirt floor, what do you suppose is going to get into the wounds? Dirt. We've been around long enough to know what happens, don't we? Some of us, as younger people, we ate a lot of dirt as we were playing, okay? When you play football, that happens. When you play as a young kid in a sandbox, it happens. You get full of dirt. That's why some of us as older people are healthier than some of these young ones. We ate a lot of dirt when we were younger. Maybe if they did that, did something other than watch TV and play with their computers and calculators, they'd do better too. So he washed them from the effects of their wounds, meaning from the blood caused by the blows they had received when they were beaten with rods, and also from dirt in those wounds caused by their lying on a dirt floor in the prison. As indicated by, you can imagine how comfortable they were, okay? Besides hurting, they were not at all comfortable. As indicated by the italics, there has been supplied by the translators, and was baptized. He and all his straightway indicates that after washing Paul and Silas' wounds, the Philippian jailer and all the members of his family were baptized immediately or at once. Inasmuch as believers' baptism always followed believing, this indicates that all the members of his household were old enough to believe the gospel for themselves before they were baptized. Now, we are scheduling a baptismal service in the near future. The date is not yet set, but if any of you have not yet been baptized after your salvation, or any of your children, you might take that into account. We'd be glad to baptize more than just the one we're planning to baptize. So just let me know, or one of the deacons. The keeper of the prison then took Paul and Silas to his home, fed them, and rejoiced because he and all his family had been saved. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. When he brought them into the house where he and his refer to the Philippian jailer, and them refers to Paul and Silas, it's used in conjunction with set. It's been translated as showing time the action of had brought occurred before the action of set. He brought them into his house, and then he set meat, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, indicates that the Philippian jailer was glad or was overjoyed. You remember, maybe it's been so long you don't remember. Or maybe you were so young that you really hardly remember much of anything. Or maybe some of you are so old you've forgotten most everything. But you know, people get saved and they're happy. Their sins are gone. He's glad. He was overjoyed. Believing in God with all his house is used in conjunction with rejoiced, indicating cause. You know, this changed the jailer's life as well as those of his family forever. The action of believing occurred before the action of rejoiced. And its tense indicates a state of being. He was in a state of having believed in God with his whole family. It's understood in the sense of because he had believed or trusted in God with all his family or with his whole household, with all his house, been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally because with his whole family he had believed in God, or with his whole household he was in a state of having believed in God. According to verse 35, the next morning the magistrates sent their officers with instructions to release Paul and Silas. When it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant saying, "Let those men go." And of course, transitions in the sense of then or now. When it was day is used in conjunction with sent. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sent. It's been translated as showing time in the sense of after it was day or after day came. Now, day is going to refer to the period of daylight. So it's light outside so they can see where they're going. The magistrates is the chief magistrates. These were the highest government officials in Philippi. They sent the sergeants, means the constables or the police officers, saying is used in conjunction with sent, indicating a fact in addition to sent. Its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of sent, and it's understood as "and were saying." And what they were saying is, "Let those men go, release those men, or set those men free." The tense of "let go" indicates that its action was to be undertaken at once and without delay. Men happens to be the generic term for human beings. It's understood in the sense of people, referring to Paul and Silas. In verse 36, Paul and Silas were urged to go in peace, and transitions from the thought of verse 35 in the sense of then or now. And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." The keeper of the prison, of course, is the jailer. He told this, saying to Paul, as he announced or reported these words to Paul, and what he said forms the rest of the verse. I'm guessing he expected Paul and Silas to be happy. He wasn't expecting what Paul said to him. "The magistrates are the chief magistrates. They've sent to let you go, that you might be released or set free." It could indicate purpose or intended result. So it could mean in order that you might be released, or so that you might be released. Now, as it is, its use pertains not so much to the present time as to the present situation. Therefore, draws an inference from the messenger sent by the magistrates in the sense of consequently, accordingly, then or so, depart and go in peace. Having gone out, be going in peace. Depart is used in conjunction with go, and it's been translated as an imperative or a command, exhorting Paul and Silas what they should do, and its action should occur before the action of go. Go in peace, be going or proceeding in peace, and it amounts to being the same thing as our modern day keep well or be well. According to verse 37, however, Paul pointed out to the officers that he and Silas were Romans who had been beaten openly, even though they were not condemned. And of course, this was highly illegal. He would not stand for them putting him and Silas out secretly. The magistrates needed to come themselves and release them from prison. Now, they were afraid, and their action shows how afraid they were. They did what Paul told them. "But Paul said unto them, they've beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." If it weren't for Roman law, they probably would have let them stay in prison. But because it was for Roman law, they were afraid because of what they had done. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to the statement made by the keeper of the prison, that the magistrates had sent word to release Paul and Silas and that they should depart and go in peace. Paul said unto them, suggests Paul said to the sergeants, meaning the constables or the police officers, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned." It's used in conjunction with cast. That's been translated as a fact in addition to cast. "They" is referring to the magistrates or to their subordinates, and "us" refers to Paul and Silas. The tense of "have beaten" indicates that its action took place before the action of cast. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. It refers to their having been beaten with rods. "Openly" describes "have beaten" and means in the open, publicly, or in public. "Uncondemned" suggests without due process or without a trial, and suggests that they had been beaten without having undergone a proper legal process. "Being Romans" is used in conjunction with "have beaten," indicating concession. It's understood in the sense of, although we are Romans, Roman men, where "men" is the generic term for human beings, it means they were Roman citizens and have cast us into prison and threw us into prison. And of course, it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. "And now" refers to the time Paul and Silas were being urged to leave the prison quietly. "Do they thrust us out privily? Are they putting us out secretly? Privily or secretly is in contrast to openly, publicly, or in public view. Thrust us out is send us out. Send us away, release us, or bring us out and suggest without force. Nay, verily. It's emphatic. It's understood in the sense of no indeed. But introduces a statement in strong contrast. Do they thrust us out privily? Let them come themselves is used in conjunction with fetch out. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to fetch out. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of fetch out. And then you see fetch us out. Let them fetch us out is a third person command in Greek for which English has no equivalent. It means, and let them bring us out or lead us out. And it suggests they must bring us out or they must lead us out. What was Paul trying to do? Well, we don't know for sure, but rather than being vindictive, it has been suggested that Paul's demand that the magistrates escort him and Silas out of prison may have been designed to spare the young church in Philippi from further harassment. You think about that. Why did Paul do this? Well, this is a suggestion that somebody, and I have no recollection of who, has made. According to verse 38, when the officers reported back to the magistrates were afraid when they learned that Paul and Silas were Romans. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And transitions to the next thought in the narrative. The sergeants, the constables, the police officers told or reported these words refers to what Paul had said to the sergeants in verse 37. They told them unto the magistrates, the chief magistrates, the highest officials in the Roman colony of Philippi, and they feared. Where they refers to the magistrates is, and they were or became frightened. When they heard is used in conjunction with feared, indicating time, and its action occurred at the same time as the action of feared. And when they heard may instead be understood in the sense of when they learned or when they understood. And what they heard, what they learned or what they understood is that they were Romans, meaning that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. As such, they were entitled to a public hearing, which they had not been given. In verse 39, the magistrates came and released them from prison and urged them to leave Philippi. They didn't want them around telling people this. And continues the narrative from the previous verse, they came. Where they is referring to the magistrates, it's used in conjunction with besought. And it's translated as indicating a fact in addition to besought. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of besought. It might instead indicate time in the sense of after they came. They besought means they urged. They encouraged or they exhorted, and them refers to Paul and Silas. They wanted to get rid of them and brought them out as used in conjunction with desired. They did what Paul demanded. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to desired. Instead, it might have been understood as indicating time. In the sense of after they brought them out, or brought them out where them as Paul and Silas. That means they led them out and desired them to depart out of the city as they were, or kept asking or requesting Paul and Silas to go out of, meaning to leave, or to go away from the city, meaning from Philippi. And this, of course, indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. They didn't just say it one time. According to verse 40, Paul and Silas went to Lydia's home, encouraged the new believers, and left the area. And they went out from the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And transitions from the thought of verse 39 to the thought of verse 40. They went out of the prison is used in conjunction with entered. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to entered. The tense of went out indicates that its action occurred before the action of entered. Of course, it had to. It might instead be understood as showing time in the sense of after they had gone out of the prison. And they entered into the house of Lydia as they came unto Lydia. The believers were apparently assembled at Lydia's household. And when they, meaning when Paul and Silas, had seen the brethren is used in conjunction with comforted, indicating time. The tense of had seen indicates that its action occurred at the same time as or slightly before the action of comforted. The brethren refers to the fellow believers gathered at Lydia's home. They comforted them, meaning they, Paul and Silas, encouraged or consoled them, meaning the fellow believers, and departed. They went out, or they went away. Now, we've talked about the we sections in Acts, which include Luke. But inasmuch as the we section in chapter 16 does not continue in chapter 17, it appears that Luke did not leave Philippi with Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Within the will of God, Paul and Silas had been beaten with rods, thrown into prison, and had their feet placed in stocks. Within the will of God, rather than grumbling or complaining, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God at midnight in the hearing of the other prisoners. Within the will of God, God sent a great earthquake, which resulted in the prison doors being opened and the chains of all the prisoners being unfastened. Within the will of God, the jailer asked what he must do in order to be saved. Within the will of God, Paul and Silas explained how the jailer and his family might be saved. Within the will of God, what a night it must have been. What have you and I experienced this week? Within the will of God. Remember, God is in control. We have no idea what is coming this week within the will of God. But we need to realize God's in control, and we need to be submissive to Him, seeking to live for Him regardless of anything that comes our way. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this example of living within the will of God by Paul and Silas. Help us, our Father, also to live within the will of God at all times. Bless these dear people. Thank you for each one. Meet their needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.